reasons that I wanted to talk today prior to spring training is because I know the players are going to have to talk, and the manager is going to have to talk, and the coaches are going to have to talk, and executives. The other reason is, you know, I'm going to serve my suspension quietly. It's going to be a long summer. And, you know, I don't blame anyone, you know, but myself. And, you know, when that time comes and that season has passed and the playoff series and the World Series has ended, I'll be ready emotionally, physically, for anything.
Former Astros manager A.J. Hinch fired.
Yeah.
In light of the sign-stealing scandal.
Somebody please hire me.
Yeah. It's going to be a long summer.
It's going to be a quiet summer because he's not going to do a lot of talking.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I got mixed vibes about the content of what he said. I recognize he's in a real bad situation, but I think he's trying to straddle a line here. I think he's trying to be available to the media to kind of curry a little bit of favor. And I do think that if this played out where his superiors were involved on this or signed off on this, if his boss, Jeff Luhnow, signed off on this, then A.J. Hinch might be trying to play that card a little bit, like, hey, I was in a bad position, and I'm still a really good manager, and I'm really not, you know, that tainted by this. I don't know if I buy it, because at some point in time, this thing got to the point where it's beyond absurd. And the fact that it started with an intern, I mean, really?
Yeah, that was one of the things that came to light over the weekend, the Wall Street Journal article that painted how this started, presented by an intern, installed by the front office of the Houston Astros. And then we see the language used in the findings from Major League Baseball, the commissioner's investigation that lasted 3 months, where they say it was a player-driven. I mean, this is so widespread. And now we're getting more ramifications from it. Nancy Armour wrote today in USA Today, the Houston Astros wronged a lot of people in a lot of ways, but the damage they did to Mike Bolsinger, to his career, and to his whole life was particularly harsh, and the former Toronto Blue Jays pitcher wants them held accountable. Bolsinger filed a civil lawsuit in Los Angeles Superior Court on Monday, accusing the Astros of unfair business practices, negligence, and intentional interference with contractual and economic relations. He wants the Astros to forfeit the roughly $31 million in bonuses from their ill-gotten World Series title and for the money to go to charities in Los Angeles focused on bettering kids' lives, as well as to create a fund for retired baseball players who need financial assistance. That's kind of a cool little twist on this. He's not looking to gain financially from it, but he talks about in his time with Toronto, 2017 was the last time he pitched in the big leagues, and it was for the Blue Jays. Pitched in 11 games that year. Two of those games were against Houston. One of them, on July 7th, Mike Bolsinger pitched 5 1/3 innings, gave up 6 hits, 4 runs, 2 home runs. They lost that game 12-2. His last performance as a major league pitcher was on August 4th in a 16-7 loss in Houston against the Astros. He lasted 1/3 of an inning, gave up 4 hits, 4 earned runs, and a home run. That was the last time he threw a pitch in the major leagues. So he's got the statistics to back him. Not that he was great against other teams. I mean, he gave up 5 earned runs in 4 2/3 innings against Atlanta that year. Mm-hmm. You know, he was at the end of his road. But he says the Astros and their operation of sign stealing had something to do with his career ending.
Listen, in theory, we talked about this and others talked about the damage, because every player relates to that. You get your opportunity to be in the show, and you blow it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like Eminem, right? We heard him sing it last night on the Oscars. What that was all about, I have no idea.
Is that a new song, by the way? Glad Eminem is back with fresh material.
The last award show had Paula Abdul singing Straight Up.
Like, what is going on? Did it
here?
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So look, in the case of this, it to me that. A lot of people can relate to that, because that really would be a terrible twist of all of this, for cheating ways, greedy for a good baseball team to cheat the way they did when they probably didn't even need to compete for a World Series title, cost somebody a major league career. people aren't down with that. Now, I don't know if you can prove it. Yeah, you might have to go back to that cat's appearance against the Astros and see if you can hear any banging or if there's any evidence.
I'm sure John Boy's all over it. Or that other guy, Astros, Tony Adams, I think his name is.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, unfortunately, very few people associated with that Astros team are speaking on it. A.J. Hinch did sit down for about a 25-minute interview with Tom Verducci. And, you know, where it all began, the whistleblowing from former Astros pitcher Mike Fiers. Here's A.J. Hinch on that.
One of your players is probably the reason, or big reason, why we're sitting here. Mike Fiers, a member of the 2017 Astros, came out on the record and identified the trash can scheme. First of all, what was and what is your relationship with Mike Fiers?
I haven't spent a lot of time focusing on the emotional side of the reaction to Mike, telling this story and getting this message out. I wish I would have had an environment and a culture that was better for him to have come to me in real time. And I wish I could have done better to maybe get that nudge, that maybe I needed help to get that nudge to make a better, to make better leadership decisions. So I focus on that. I understand there's going to be people on both sides of the argument on what should have happened or what could have happened. But my relationship, I haven't talked to Mike since 2018, 2019, every time you play somebody. But I'm focused on how I could have had a better environment for this to be, you know, directed towards me earlier.
That's the most mamby-pamby answer I've ever heard in my life.
Without a doubt. And
I have to dump that now, Vinny.
Mamby-pamby you're throwing out here? My goodness.
Now listen, Dallas Keuchel, his apology was only partly sincere, and it didn't come until he was with the new team and had a new contract in his back pocket.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So these other guys, I don't expect a whole lot this week or next week.
I don't think you should.
No.
And then AJ Hinch too. He talks about this is a lot of a focus on the 2017 scandal, which Major League Baseball found the wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of allegations in 2019 from buzzers to whistling. The Yankees during the postseason talked about it, and AJ Hinch was so flip and dismissive of all of those. If I would have known this would get under their skin, we would have practiced it in spring training.
Yeah.
Here he is looking back on his comments during the ALCS on the allegations from the Yankees.
People have, you want to use the word conflated here, have attached anyway that answer to what we now know about what happened in 2017. Mm-hmm. They saw this as something that was hypocritical on your part, where you're mm-hmm. defending your club about not cheating. Explain mm-hmm. what you meant.
We had played a couple games against the Yankees, and the issue in question was dating back to like game one, and so I knew a little bit about it going in, and it wasn't until we got to New York when I was getting asked the question.
The accusation was that you were getting signs and relaying by whistling to them,
and we weren't. When I sat at that podium, I'm going to defend this group of players, and that's my job, and that's how I felt. And I didn't like the line of questioning. It was uncomfortable. I came out firm. It was talking about 2019. And then when the investigation started and we started getting investigated about 2017, I know it looks bad because it kind of gets blurry in the entire organization over the course of a few years. But I believed in what we were doing in 2019.
Yeah, so you're basically asking people to say, oh, we cheated in 2017, but then it was over.
Yeah.
People don't think that way, and nor should they.
No, and the video evidence of, and again, you can call it anecdotal if you want, but the stuff on Jose Altuve is about as damning as anecdotal evidence gets.
I agree with you. Supercuts is the official hairstylist of Major League Baseball, and with the 2020 season right around the corner, they're giving you the chance to win a pair of tickets to the first day game of the season for the D-backs on Wednesday, April 1st versus San Francisco. Just text CUT, C-U-T, to 620-620 to enter. Coming up over the weekend, we saw a college basketball coach return to the scene of the crime, or his greatest triumphs. Get into that next. Easy for me to say. Just keep laughing at me. I totally deserve it. Rewind. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Floorbirds with Bickley and Murata.
Well, it had been 20 years, Bick, since Bob Knight was on the campus of Indiana University.
Yeah.
That streak of absence came to an end over the weekend. 40th anniversary, I believe, of the title team, one of the title teams that Bob Knight coached at Indiana. And he had been gone for 20 years, and anybody who saw, you know, followed the news, obviously, and the Neil Reed incident and the ugly departure, and things got really strange and unfortunate for Bob Knight at the end there. And I was torn when I saw the footage of him, because he obviously doesn't project the same Bob Knight image. He's getting up there in years. He looked a little frail, quite honestly.
His nose was a strange color of purple.
But one way, I was happy that that finally happened for because it's very important to people in Indiana.
Yeah.
And in another way, I remember how maniacal he was toward the end of his run at Indiana.
Yeah.
I mean, that documentary, the 30 for 30 they did on that, that was a hard watch. He had unchecked power.
Oh, no, listen, and he really became, at the time, of the poster boy of the head coach who just got out of control to the point where they just nobody could ever question them. You remember how he unloaded on that Indiana student who didn't address him, who just said, "Hey, Knight, remember that?" Okay. So Bobby Knight at the end was a really it was hard to watch because at the time he was a titan. About guy went over 900 games. Indiana is a basketball crazy town, and he just, that red sweater, the white hair, the throw in the chair, just, he was, you talk about a bully. He was a coaching bully.
And to this day, you'll still hear people say, I think there's a lot less of them than there used to be, you'll still hear people say, that's the kind of guy I want my son to play for.
Yeah.
I think there's less and less of it.
Right. But at one point in time, yeah, if you felt your child needed some tough love to grow up, then yeah, you're cool with sending him to play for Bobby Knight.
Mm-hmm.
He was a I'm just glad that this moment happened and that these two parties can build on it, because Bobby Knight meant so much to IU and the myth of Hoosiers and all that stuff, that it wouldn't be right for him and that university to always be not on good terms or not on speaking terms. And this is just, this is about healing. This is about coming back together and realizing we had some really good times and things got really weird, but why don't we put this thing in a better place? So I was happy to see that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can you believe he's only 79?
I just looked it up. I thought
I was like 90.
A lot older. It's,
he's only 7 years older than Coach K.
Is that right?
Wow. Yeah.
Coach K's 72?
72. Not a gray hair on him, that guy.
I know.
Yeah, genes.
Hey, some people get those genes that they're just fortunate. Like Jerry Glanville. Did you see Jerry Glanville over the weekend on the XFL sideline?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the hair looks fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. No, yeah, you're right about that.
Elsewhere in basketball, I think it's fair to ask the question, is Kevin Durant capable of shutting up?
No. The answer to that is no.
Kevin Durant sat down with the All the Smoke podcast with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. A whole lot of innuendo in that title of a podcast, huh? But he talked about his departure from Oklahoma City, why he chose to sign with Golden State when he did. Quote, "In OKC, I played with a lot of athletes. I didn't play with a lot of skill guys, not like shooters and ball handlers. So after a while, my game started to grow, and I was like, I need a change. This was before the 2015-2016 season even started. I was tired of being the only guy who could make threes, make jump shots, and consistently make them." It just never ends with this guy.
What is the point of uttering those words? What?
I mean, he's still trying to justify. He's already gone from that team, and he's still trying to justify that move all these years later.
Yeah.
That's just the guy who knows what he did was
garbage.
Downright cowardly.
Yeah. Yeah. And to keep going there is going to make people continue to roll their eyes. I mean, it's you saw the way Kendrick Perkins went at him. He's got to realize that until he does something with Brooklyn, that people are going to think that was a garbage maneuver. You joined a team that set a record for the most wins in NBA history in the regular season. Congratulations. People aren't digging that.
Yeah, that last year in Oklahoma City, the Thunder won 55 games. They got all the way to the conference finals and took Golden State to 7 games. The lack of shooters that he's probably talking about, I mean, it falls on Russell Westbrook, certainly. That year, Kevin Durant led the team with 186 three-pointers made. Russell Westbrook had 101. Dion Waiters had 86. Anthony Morrow had 79. So it's not the same volume that you see on teams now, four or 5 years later.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like they were devoid of other talent.
Yeah, and then just to make it seem like you're the only guy that could play. You know, I don't know what the point of that is. I really don't. I don't know. Somebody, apparently, Kevin Durant doesn't have somebody in his ear who can say, look, dude, stop. You're just making it worse.
Apparently, that guy does not exist.
Apparently.
But he's got a lot of free time.
Yeah.
There was video of him getting shots up now. He's recovering from the Achilles.
Yeah.
Do you have a new respect for Kevin Durant in dealing with your own debilitating Achilles injury?
Right.
I'm not trying to make fun, because you're hobbling around pretty good today.
I am. And I don't know if it's going to get better anytime soon. So, yeah, I kind of do. I kind of wish I was Kevin Durant.
Devin Booker. On the list of 44 American players in the pool for inclusion in the 2020 Olympics.
Uh-huh.
You thought he was snubbed for the All-Star team. Wait till they announce that roster for the Olympics coming up, Vic.
Uh-huh. What are your thoughts on that? Because that would be quite a, and I agree with you, there's no sure thing about him being named to this. I think it all depends now on how many NBA headline players above Devin Booker want to be part of the Tokyo Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? With this coronavirus going around, I know it's not China, it's Japan. I know the difference. I've been to Tokyo, but it's Asia. And mm-hmm. And in times of like this, international travel doesn't appeal to everybody. We'll see what that feels like this summer. I don't know. I've got mixed feelings about it. I want him to have a big platform, but at the same time, if everything is gearing up to make next year the big year, then I don't know.
It's an honor. I know there's a lot of guys that passed up on the opportunity to play last year
mm-hmm.
in the FIBA World Cup for Team USA. They didn't win that tournament. There might be some hard feelings among selection committee members of guys that turned it down. I don't know if they put that aside and try to field the best team. But even if they field the best team, I mean, is Devin Booker one of the top 14 American players? I mean, there's a lot of big names on this list.
There's a lot of not-so-big names on this list.
There's a lot of not-so-big names
Mason
on the list, too.
Mason Plumlee, Derek White, Marcus Smart.
I mean, they're all solid players in their own right, but is LeBron James going to play? Is Paul George, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, are they going to play? I mean, it starts with those guys, obviously, and trickles down. I know Devin Booker would be honored more so by playing in the Olympics than the FIBA World Cup, but he got heat for that last year.
Yeah.
By removing himself even from the pool of inclusion.
And I talked to Jerry Colangelo after that. And I said, are you and his Team USA still entirely cool with Devin Booker? His answer was definitely. So not playing in the FIBA World Cup last year, or not making himself available to play, didn't cost him any capital with Team USA.
I don't think it should. I think for a lesser tournament, and you've hit the nail on the head a few times on this, Bic, the Olympics is one thing. But playing for Team USA in any international tournament that's not named the Olympics has less luster for guys in this country than it does in foreign countries.
Resonate. It just doesn't resonate at all.
So by my count, of the 22 All-Stars, 6 of them were international players. So, wait, does Joel Embiid count as American or?
He's not.
No, okay, so 7 then. So that would leave 15 spots that Devin Booker did not crack.
I'm glad you qualified by saying by my count.
Well, I'm
I'll go and count them and get the right number later.
That's an important qualifier.
Luka Doncic.
There's a reason why we don't do video trivia anymore.
Yeah.
Counting.
That was a running.
Coming up next, we'll hand out some hardware. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford, The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's Sanderson Ford poll question on the front page of ArizonaSports.com. Which pitcher's performance this year will be most important for the Diamondbacks' success? Madison Bumgarner, Robbie Ray, Archie Bradley, or other?
Archie Bradley.
Archie Bradley. I won't disagree with you there. It's assumed he'll be the closer going into spring training, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty close vote. 34% say Madison Bumgarner, 33% Robbie Ray, 29% Archie Bradley. Pretty close.
Yeah, I think
arguments for all three.
Yeah, I think Robbie Ray is going to give you exactly what we've gotten from Robbie Ray in the past. I think Madison Bumgarner is going to be very good, and I think Archie Bradley's the big unpredictable. And when he's good, when Archie Bradley's good, you know the effect he has on this town.
That is true. That is today's Sanderson Ford poll question. You can cast your vote right now. It's on the front page of ArizonaSports.com.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Bickley and Murata.
Handing out the hardware.
Hardware is our version of the award show. We do it every Monday, and it's brought to you by Revitalize. Make changes that will last a lifetime with Revitalize. 480-435-3557. I feel so much more comfortable doing hardware at this time of the year, where every Sunday there's a new award show. Last night we had the Oscars. Did you watch any of the Oscars?
I did, yeah.
I watched more Oscars than XFL. Does that make me a monster?
No.
Okay, good.
No, it doesn't.
Good. What do you got for us, Bick?
All right. My first award, Vinny, is the only guy who could incite more viral videos with his hair than me award. I'm giving it to Russell Wilson.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know what dude did to his hair or how you go from that to what he's got now. But, man, that's just all I can say. Man.
Man in a good way? As a guy with a great
kind of
head
man.
Of hair.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I think you're the person to ask on this.
I
looked at those pictures and I went, wow, what a weirdo.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. And it was like, it's not that I don't like his hairstyle. I just, what are you becoming? That should have been the award.
I mean,
what are you becoming award?
You turn on the fan and he could be on the cover of a Harlequin romance with that with those flowing locks.
Wow. I'm right there with you on that. Just wow.
Someone I just saw said he's slowly turning into John Stamos.
That's a good way of putting it.
My first award is simply called the Sandman Award, and I'm giving it to the Sandman, Adam Sandler, snubbed by the Oscars, but on Saturday night he collected the Best Actor honor at the Independent Spirit Awards.
Oh, he did.
Did you see it? I guess you didn't see his acceptance speech.
No, I didn't.
It's 5 minutes long, but it's the best acceptance speech you'll ever hear. He did it kind of in character.
Really?
Yes. It's fantastic.
Okay, I'm going to have to go find that. My next award was, don't ever give this guy another award, please. And I'm giving it to Joaquin Phoenix because whatever the opposite of a great acceptance speech is, that's what that guy gives.
He did refer to himself as a scoundrel, which was a good word.
Oh my, it's just exhausting listening to him.
I did not partake in that speech.
Oh, you didn't?
I still haven't seen the movie. I still want to see it. My son came over yesterday for a bit, and he brought two movies with him, Joker and Parasite, and we watched neither one of them.
I haven't seen that either, but I've heard that won the Oscar, obviously, Parasite. And everyone I know who's seen it said it was great.
Yeah, it looks...
Really?
I watched the trailers, and the only thing that's scaring me off is I don't like reading my movies. I'm simple that way. But the story seems so awesome, and there's apparently this big twist, so I can't wait to see it.
All right.
My next award is the Most Apt Tweet Ever Sent Award, and I'm giving it to Johnny Manziel.
Oh.
Who, late last week over the weekend, tweeted out, Scottsdale is a vibe with like seven extra E's on it. I may never leave this place. I can't believe we haven't seen that from Johnny Manziel earlier. And by the way, can we stop this whole trend of adding extra vowels to the end of words to accentuate it? Because that makes it Scottsdale is a vibey.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, I'm with you. I didn't like that, and I thought that tweet was like, really?
Get off my lawn.
Really? It's like,
stop messing with the language.
No, it's like, if Johnny Manziel wants people to take him seriously, that's about the last tweet you sent, right?
He also had a tweet for a little later on. Let me find this one.
I've got it, because I was going to give him an award on that.
Oh, you got the one?
Yeah,
okay,
yes,
go ahead.
For those wondering why Johnny Manziel is in the XFL award, he tweeted this. Comeback season still alive. If y'all ain't know, just not playing for another league that's going to fold on you midway through the season. Okay, Johnny Manziel, you went to college. Okay, shame on you for stringing together the phrase, y'all ain't know.
Yeah, you used all those vowels before.
Did he
say them here?
Did he spell no, N-O, or K-N-O-W?
K-N-O-W.
Okay, that's, yeah, we'll give him credit. Half right. Credit. You don't have to see me after class, Mr. Manziel.
All right.
I thought you were going to say the tweet that says, that jewel hits different when the red light comes on.
That's what.
My next award is the Weirdest Game Ever Award, and I'm giving it to the ASU Sun Devils, who somehow found a way to beat USC on Saturday. Did you watch any of this game, Bick?
No.
ASU trailed by 8 at halftime. Yet won the game despite shooting 28% from the floor in the second half and going 11 minutes and 9 seconds without a basket.
Oh boy.
How do you do that? You make your free throws and you rely on your opponent to turn the ball over 18 times in 20 minutes of basketball.
Holy smokes.
It was the weirdest game ever. And the shot that finally broke it, I mean, Remy Martin hit the game-winning shot, turned out to be the game-winning shot.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't get above the rim, but somehow it was a bank shot that rolled around the rim 2.5 to 3 times before it fell through. I mean, that's just one you do. Okay, we'll take it.
We'll take it.
Move
goodbye.
On.
Yeah, see you later. All right, my next award is the Like a Boss Award, Vinny. I'm giving it to Jerry Glanville, who, besides having a full head of brown hair, it's amazing how his hair doesn't turn gray, he was caught wearing two headsets at the same time. That's a boss move. Two headsets at the same time.
There's a lot going on, man.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
When I saw Jerry Glanville,
Elvis, obviously.
The first thing I thought of was, did he leave tickets to the XFL game for Elvis? Is that still a thing? He's 78 years old.
Wow.
And now taking on a full-time coaching job.
Wow.
It's in your blood, man. Speaking of coaches, the next award is the Has Anyone Checked on This Guy Award, and I'm giving it to Roy Williams, who has been a recipient of hardware recently because of his comments on his North Carolina team. Did you see
it was amazing.
How they blew that game against
amazing.
Duke?
It was amazing.
Not only in regulation, but in overtime.
Yeah.
Just a colossal meltdown.
Yeah.
And they lost it eventually on a NC State-style putback. Remember when they beat Houston in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah.
The air ball that gets put up. Oh, my. I couldn't imagine losing a game like that.
Right. No, that was unbelievable. And I also loved Duke's UDs in that game. That big deal.
Oh,
you don't like those?
Those are the worst.
I liked them. I actually liked them.
I couldn't stand them.
All right, my last award,
those two
Vinny,
teams have such good uniforms normally. Why you got to mess with them?
That's a good point. My last award, Vinny, is next time, wait for the post-game spread. I'm giving it to Khalil Lewis, who threw up twice on the field in the first quarter of his XFL debut. For the Houston Roughnecks. He was a wide receiver. Projectile vomiting as he lined up for a first quarter play.
Unfortunately, I saw that.
Did you?
Yeah. The beauty of social media. My last award is also XFL related. It's the answer to a trivia question and award. And I'm giving it to Tampa Bay Vipers defensive tackle Ricky Walker, who has the distinct honor of becoming the first player ever ejected from an XFL game for throwing a punch. First of all, don't throw a punch to a guy wearing a helmet.
Right.
And do it closer to the end of the play. He waited like 30 seconds after the play was over, then threw the punch, and it was pretty easy. You're gone.
Yeah.
But now he's the answer to a trivia question that we'll all forget by tomorrow. There you go. That's Hardware. We do it every Monday here on the show. It's brought to you by Revitalize. Back to wrap things up on this Monday. It's Bickley and Murata, live from the Ok Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
All right, today's song of the day, of course, Start Me Up by the Rolling Stones because...
Never heard this one before.
Yeah.
Is this new?
Because on the heels of their next world tour...
Their next farewell tour.
Their next farewell tour, Keith Richards has quit smoking.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
We have breaking news. The tobacco industry has just shuddered.
Yeah, just shuddered. 76 years young, Keith Richards.
Wow. With the lungs of a how old man?
Man, I can only imagine.
One that died 30 years ago. I guess they finally ran out of cigarettes.
Seriously. Good luck to Keith Richards. That's crazy. I cannot believe how long this band has been touring. And it's all because it's Mick Jagger as a singer. It's absolutely remarkable that that man at that age can stay that physically active to tour the way he does and perform the way he does. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is truly remarkable. And you see a bunch of bands now like into their 50s and 60s doing it, but I mean, they're almost 80.
I know.
Better than the Beatles.
I was just having a discussion. Well, the Beatles aren't touring anymore.
No.
I was just having a discussion about the Eagles farewell tour coming up.
Yeah.
And some guy said, yeah, it's the last chance to see him. And I went, yeah, but is it?
Yeah, but is it really? Right. Is it really?
Didn't they already do a Hell Freezes Over tour?
They did.
They said they never. And that was like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Oh, well.
Where does this rank on your listing of Rolling Stones songs?
It's
pretty high for me.
Yeah, I would say top. I would say somewhere between 7 and 10, I would say. Give Me Shelter would be number one.
It's a good song.
Mm-hmm.
Paint It Black, good song.
Yeah. What else do I like?
Harlem Shuffle?
No.
Ruby Tuesday. Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday.
Wild Horses.
I like Wild Horses a lot. I'm having a complete brain freeze.
Because you can only hear Start Me Up. That's why.
It's affecting your thinking process.
You try to think of another song when you're listening to a song.
Heartbreak. See, there it worked for me. Heartbreaker.
Sympathy for the Devil.
That's a great one, too.
Yeah.
Give Me Shelter.
Yeah, I said that first, Jared.
Oh, sorry.
By the way, we had Jared Dudley. Jared. Conditioned to say Jarrett for everybody now.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Dudley joined us from the Los Angeles Lakers. And one of the stories that didn't happen over the weekend, and it looked like it was going to, is Darren Collison was a guest of Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka at a Lakers game. And they're like, hey, he's coming out of retirement.
Yeah.
He opted to stay in retirement and not sign with the Lakers or Clippers, as had been rumored. And don't get me wrong, I was actually advocating last year for the Suns to go after Darren Collison.
Yep.
But this is such an overblown story, is it not? Do you think Darren Collison affects the title hopes of the Los Angeles Lakers that much?
No, I really don't.
Maybe you can make the argument that they were very quiet at the trade deadline because they thought Collison was on the way, and that's not happening now, so they got caught holding the bag. But I don't think that affects him either way.
And from what I read, he fully expects to come back next year. So you wonder why he isn't playing this year, especially with a chance to join a potential NBA champion.
Jarrett is back there just putting up pictures of Russell Wilson, John Stamos, and Eric Cohen's hairdos. You really want me to mention this, don't you?
No, I'm just trying to doing it for my own amusement.
I'm glad you're amusing yourself. All I see is this dancing montage of bad hair.
Hey. Hair and beards and serious faces. Doesn't Russell Wilson really does look like Eric, doesn't he? Am I imagining that?
You're imagining that. Okay. His hair's longer than yours. You've got that can't all be his hair, can it?
It's good looking hair, too, man.
Yeah, I knew you'd like it.
But I'm with Vinny.
But it looks good on you, though.
I can't help but look at him and go, man, this guy's just getting so weird.
Did you hear about the SEC network announcer that was doing a gymnastics broadcast?
I did not.
And they were talking about Richard Cross was the play-by-play guy. And Barry Booker, who was a basketball analyst. They were doing actually a basketball broadcast that they were promoing an SEC network telecast upcoming of gymnastics. And Cross said, yeah, it would be a good Valentine's Day activity. You know, take the significant other out to Valentine's Day. And Booker followed it up with, yeah, I want to hang with scantily clad girls. That didn't go over very well.
Uh-huh.
Of all sports to make that claim, yeah.
Bad idea.
He's apologized.
Real bad idea.
Real bad idea. I also have this story, which is fantastic in my opinion. Just got to find it here. You ever go, obviously you've had first days at jobs before.
Mm-hmm.
Has one of those first days at your job ever netted you $17,000?
No.
That's a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
This one guy who's been unidentified in police reports in Hamden, I believe it's in Connecticut, gas station employee, first day on the job, accused of stealing items worth $17,000 on his first day of work.
Oh, boy.
Officers were called to Go on Gas on Arch Street late last month after getting a report of larceny. Investigators said they were told management hired a new overnight employee. During the new employee's first solo shift, police said the store owner used an app on his cell phone to view store cameras. The owner said he quickly learned the new employee had left and stolen items, including lottery tickets, 89 boxes of cigarettes, and money.
That's a lot of smokes, dude.
$17,183.
No wonder.
I got the place all to myself.
No wonder Keith Richards quit smoking.
Because this guy stole all the cigarettes.
Way back when I was a part-time employee at a gas station, right? Right, senior year of high school.
Uh-huh. Were you really?
They hired somebody, okay? And on the first day, he basically did the same thing. He didn't make out with that kind of money, but he took, like, the change drawer for the next shift, which is probably about $100, and took a bunch of stuff. First day. And I remember the police coming in going, do you guys not do background checks here? Do you not know what a bad dude that guy is? And he was like, the kid was like just out of high school. But apparently he had a rap that long.
Well, people think, oh, we got the whole place to ourselves. We can do whatever we want. There's no laws here.
Well, listen, there's a reason why if you go into most places now, like bars, the camera is right above the cash register.
Oh, yeah.
They're not worried about what's happening on the outside of the bar.
Yeah.
Right.
It'll be the last time they hire Slippery Fingers McGinty.
So, wait, as a gas station attendant, were you more a convenience store clerk?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
just you didn't have gas station.
No.
You'd have to pump gas and change oil and stuff?
Just ran a cash register.
Gotcha.
That's all.
Jared, I didn't want to do this to you, but I have to because U of A dropped out of the top 25 poll again. After a bad weekend of basketball. And I know you were talking, and Bickley brought this up during the show, that you were the truth teller in truth telling on DeAndre Ayton and the criticisms you had. But Bick also mentioned you're a jaded U of A fan who's got bitterness towards DeAndre Ayton. How do you explain what's going on with their team this year? If I go to NBADraft.net, they apparently have three of the top 16 players available in the draft on this team. And your thoughts?
Well, as I have pointed out on Twitter, the only thing that fails... Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
A little bit.
Hello.
Can you move over to the other microphone?
The only thing that fails Sean Miller more than his coaching ability is his antiperspirant. He gets the least out of his talent. He's the only person that could have a young team with three lottery picks on him that get worse as the season goes on.
I mean, they got killed by UCLA. Killed.
At home. And yeah. UCLA is totally mediocre. They're
UCLA
like 13
team
and 10
that
or
just
11
had gotten killed by ASU.
Ran them off the gym. Yeah.
Embarrassing.
Ran them off the court.
An embarrassment. They have no shooters at all, this team.
The Pac-12 is so weird. Have you looked at the standings?
How weird is it?
There's Washington's got two first-round picks on their team, and they're in last place. They're 2-8 in the conference right now. Colorado's in first place. Oregon's in second. ASU and U of A are tied at 6-4 for third place, ahead of USC, UCLA, Stanford, Utah, Washington State, Cal, Oregon State.
Wow.
It's just mediocrity in every major men's sport in the Pac-12.
Yeah, and they kick backside in every other non-revenue producing sport.
Mm-hmm. The Conference of Champions.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, that's going to do it for the Monday show. Thanks to you for listening. Thanks to Jared Dudley of the Lakers for joining us.
On game day.
On game day, no less. Always appreciate Jared's time. We are out of here. Burns and Gambo are up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We'll see you tomorrow.